Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Happy Thanksgiving. Wrapping up another year at the Lighthouse and finalizing our plans for next year. Looking forward to a great radio year. I'm very excited about what God has done and will do as we continue moving onward and forward, swinging the sword of truth, thrusting it into the belly of the dragon of lies, and continuing the great work God has given us, seeking first the kingdom of God and His glory, and praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Special Thanksgiving remembrances this coming Sunday, 9:30 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 6 p.m. Each service unique, and childcare is available at all of our services. I hope to see you there. I also hope you don't mind if the Brain Masseur takes a little break for Thanksgiving. Our radio team is off for a four-day weekend. That means I have to post my show on Wednesday for airing Saturday and Sunday, and I could use a little breather myself. We certainly enjoyed having California Assemblyman Jim Patterson with us for our annual Lights On Banquet, an evening with the Brain Masseur, and I posted his keynote address in two parts the last two shows. As you know, we also had the privilege to have Julie Bischoff, president of Santa Barbara Conservative Women Federated, who introduced us to her work in the effort to expose voter fraud in California. She is certainly doing a great job. Her speech was excellent and eye-opening. We'll have her back to get the rest of it. I want you to hear her speech and to get acquainted with her work. So please allow me to introduce Julie Bischoff and encourage you to help her in every way you can to expose voter fraud in our lovely but very sick state. Julie Bischoff at the Lights On Banquet at the Lighthouse. So Julie Bischoff, please come and to give us your update, introduce yourself and what you're doing, and tell us about voter fraud. All right.
Well, thank you very, very much for having me here tonight. I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to see so many friendly, smiling faces, because I don't always get that. And I hope that works outright. Anyway, a bit about me. I'm a native Santa Barbarian. And part of a third-generation construction company. So I grew up with cement and rock and hauling 90-pound cement bags and getting paid 25 cents an hour. So my dad really believed in work and things that you're supposed to be doing that way. How did I get into all of this? Well, there are two ways I got into it. One is that my parents gave my brother and I an incredible gift. And that was that in 1957, they sponsored two people who had escaped from Hungary during the Hungarian Revolution. And they didn't know these people. They took them in and had to promise that they would not go on the government dole. They would learn English, they would get jobs, they would become American citizens, all of which they did. They also became my aunt and uncle, my Aunt Margaret, my Uncle Alex. Uncle Alex went on to work for Delco and help put the moon buggy on the moon. But what I learned from them, and my brother did too, is what communism really is like and why they were willing to risk their lives to escape it. So there was no doubt in my mind how quickly things can change, because they changed in Hungary in one night in an election where the communists had 20% of the polling vote going into the election, and the next morning they had 80%. So what do you do when you want to take over a country? You take the guns. And then you control the vote. So they're trying to take our guns, and they're already in many, many ways controlling the vote. And how are they doing that? So people will come to me and say, you know, in the election with Trump, it really isn't a big deal because one vote here, one vote here, thousands of votes here, there, whatever, it won't make a difference. It wouldn't have changed the outcome. And I go, you know, you're right. So, but that's not the point. The point is every election, no matter how big, how small. So last year, before the election, I wrote an article for the Santa Barbara News Press, and they published it, lo and behold. And what I said was, here's the girls' swim team, 30 members. They need to elect their captain, Tiffany or Jennifer. So that morning after practice, the coach says, pick up your ballot, go mark it, put it in the box, we'll count it after practice or before practice in the afternoon. So that happens. And what's important here is that the captain picks who runs on the, or who swims on the relays, who might be chosen above somebody else and be in line for a scholarship. These things are important to the girls. So in the afternoon, the coach takes the box and counts the ballots. There are 15 for Tiffany and 16 for Jennifer. There are 30 members of the swim team. So the coach says, anybody vote twice? Hand goes up in the back of the room. I didn't vote.
Oh, no.
Two more hands go up. We didn't vote either. Now you've got 31 votes, and you should have 27. What do they do? Do they vote over? Not everybody who was there in the morning is there in the afternoon. What's fair to Jennifer? What's fair to Tiffany? What's fair to each and every girl on that swim team? That election is as important as every election. It's not whether it's the school board member who walks and talks and knocks and works their socks off and loses by 10 votes. Did they really lose? So just how easy is it to vote, as they say at UCSB, early and often? Well, next slide. I just want you to see, I should have changed this first. This is Joseph Stalin. It's enough that people know there was an election. Okay, so we can go to the next one now. What happened is I met someone named Linda Payne, and she founded the Election Integrity Project. And I heard her speak with her statistics and her facts and her passion as a complete volunteer who had driven up and down the state of California now for years. And I went, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what California has voted into place that is so different, was so different than the rest of the country. So I won't give you, I don't have time to give you the whole scenario since 1993 of what California has done. But let's go to the next one. In 1998, they eliminated photo ID at the polls. So you don't show your photo ID. So what difference does that make? Well, they also put in place something that said outside every single precinct is a list outside the precinct of each person's name, address, party registration, and phone number. And every hour on the hour, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, those who have voted have to be crossed out, and that list is reposted. So how hard is it to go up and study that list and memorize a name and go in and vote as that person? It's incredibly easy. You can also write it on your hand, which a lot of people do. I've been there, seen it, experienced it. I worked at UCSB. I started getting involved in poll watching, poll working. We had 4,000 students in one room one year in 2014. Everyone was a freshman student. Every freshman student in a federal election must show photo ID to vote, or California acceptable ID, which includes your health club card, by the way. So what happened? We started looking through the registrations because it should have said photo ID required, and none of them had it but one student. We called the county commissioner and said, something's wrong. Joe Holland said, don't worry about it, they registered online. I went, oh, great. Okay, so what would make it hard for these students who had the same street address and every apartment number was 0000? I watched the girls vote in my line, go up, change clothes, vote in that line, go up, not bother to change clothes, vote in that line. UCSB has 13 precincts. UCSB with Isla Vista has 20. Do you have any idea how many times those students can and did vote? Hello, Bruce Porter. You lost by 1,200 votes. How many were at UCSB? A lot. So it's incredibly important that we fight back. And one of the things we need to do is push for photo ID in the polls. Also, if somebody passes on, when is their name removed? It has to go to the Department of Health and Human Services, come back all the way to the Secretary of State, all the way to the county, and get removed. I have a friend whose father died in Illinois 15 years ago. The wicked stepmother moved to California, and he's still voting. So we know it's happening, and we have to find ways to combat this. So we need your help to purge the rolls. In Fresno, the Election Integrity Project went in and took 12,000 voters off the rolls with the help of the county commissioner. We know that people are on the rolls many, many times. If you move, you should put down your prior address. How many students at UCSB are putting down that they were at UCSB when they go move somewhere else after they leave? And those ballots that are mailed are going to the same PO box of a new student. I mean, there is just so much fraud across the board, and it's so easy to do that it's amazing. Now, let's see the next slide that I have is AB 1461. This is the driver's license for anyone who's not here legally. So what did that do? They guaranteed that that would not facilitate people voting who were not citizens. But they forgot to tell the people who voted for this law a little thing. All of us who are over 21 have licenses that are horizontal. Everybody who's not here as a citizen has licenses that are vertical, and if you're under 21. But you, if you get a license, you were put automatically on the voter roll. You now have to opt out of it, not opt into it, and the numbering system is exactly the same for those who are here legally and those who are here illegally. Okay, that is a huge problem. So they also passed a law that said if you did vote illegally and you didn't understand the language, you were exempt from any penalties. Now I can go on with what Doss Williams down Santa Barbara has done. Hannah Beth Jackson has made sure that 16 and 17 year olds get registered on so that when they turn 18, they go on the rolls. Wait a minute, did they move? Did they go to college somewhere else? What happens? They're already on the rolls. How do they get removed? These things are just a mess. LA, I'll leave you with, LA County has 144% of the possible registered voters in Los Angeles. Do we think there's a problem? I think there's a problem. So anyway, with that, I'll just go to the next one. This is Linda Payne, and on the web, it's the electionintegrityproject.com. And I hope there are very small segments of what you can learn about voter law and what to do. You can sign up to be a volunteer. You can do all sorts of things, like have me come speak to other groups. But thank you so much for having me tonight. There's so much more that I could tell you that is totally not uplifting. So I will get off the stage, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie, and I hope we can bring you back to give us the rest of that story. Friends, I hope you'll connect with Election Integrity Project and help out wherever you can. You can connect on Facebook. Go to your Facebook page and search Election Integrity Project. Or if you want Julie to speak at your event, call my secretary at 805-714-7731. That's 805-714-7731. And she will get you connected with Julie Bischoff, president of Santa Barbara Conservative Women Federated, leading the charge on voter fraud in California. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back. We all think of home during this time of year. You can almost smell the memories in the air and see reminders everywhere. And they all point to home. I remember walking up the path to Grandma's house in Georgia, the strong fragrance of pine and earth. And as I approached the old house, the distinct aroma of hot berry pie stirred expectations of some really good things to come. You know, the soul and spirit of a man needs a home. The distinct fragrances of the Word of God, the Word of Truth, leads the soul to its home. Lighthouse Baptist Church is inviting you to come home for the holidays, where the hearths of our hearts are warm with the love of God, where truth is welcome, where, like Julie found, you'll be surrounded with faces smiling with the joy of the Lord that share your values and your beliefs, where God-fearing patriotism is still alive and well, where prayer is first because God and His kingdom are first, where burdens are lifted, where friends are true. Come on home for the holidays. See you in church.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights-off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights-on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way.
We all think of home during this time of year. You can almost smell the memories in the air and see reminders everywhere. And they all point to home. I remember walking up the path to Grandma's house in Georgia, the strong fragrance of pine and earth. And as I approached the old house, the distinct aroma of hot berry pie stirred expectations of some really good things to come. You know, the soul and spirit of a man needs a home. The distinct fragrances of the Word of God, the Word of Truth, leads the soul to its home. Lighthouse Baptist Church is inviting you to come home for the holidays, where the hearths of our hearts are warm with the love of God, where truth is welcome, where, like Julie found, you'll be surrounded with faces smiling with the joy of the Lord that share your values and your beliefs, where God-fearing patriotism is still alive and well, where prayer is first because God and His kingdom are first, where burdens are lifted, where friends are true. Come on home for the holidays. See you in church.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Are you ready for a renewed experience of God with a fresh encounter this year? Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. Get ready to encounter God and know that He is real. The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal To release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart, the skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheibach, pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, and he is. And he's an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. All right, a few things before I conclude the show today. Rush said, the dam has burst, and a flood of truth about the left is gushing out over the land. Well, I put it a little more elegantly, but that's what he said. And he's right. He's talking about, of course, all the sex scandals popping up all over the country, turning everything blue to purple and scarlet. And, of course, you can figure out what I mean without me explaining that Russia's right. Again, and I think he's right about what they'll probably do about it. The left survives scandals by pulling a few pages out of the Bible. They get all into restitution, restoration, repentance, reform, you know, apologies. A lot of new birth epiphanies are no doubt in the works. Remember Clinton carrying the family Bible auspiciously under his arm out in public when he was going through his scandals with Ludinsky. The left always uses Christianity to survive their scandals when otherwise they mock and ridicule it. You know, those God and gun clingers and that kind of thing. But allow me ever so humbly to set the plow some deeper. Let's get underneath this, shall we? Who are the Neanderthals now, huh? Who are the cavemen? Weinstein and Al Frankenstein, Charlie Rose, right? All these guys. And hundreds more among the Darwinist humanists who believe they are evolved monkeys and act like dirty dogs. Scornful of Christian morality, scornful in mocking our Christian heritage, but they all pull a page or two from the Bible when they get in trouble, don't they? They run to repentance and restitution and restoration and rehabilitation and reformation and, you know, all the R's that they can think of. And they use they depend upon the Christianized sentiments of our culture of forgiveness and restoration as their net to catch them when they are exposed. But take someone like Roy Moore, who has flatly denied the allegations and they have found no proof supporting them, and someone for whom they had to reach back 40 years to find anything even remotely scandalous, and they just hammer away unrelenting, even in the midst of all this. I preach an important message all of you should hear. It's posted on our website. Go to SantaMariaLighthouse.org. It's all one word, lowercase, you know the drill, SantaMariaLighthouse.org. Click on Media in the menu button. The drop-down shows Sermons. Click on Sermons, and then, or put your mouse over Sermons, and then find Issachar Report. And the message you're looking for is titled Values Clarification for Christians. You can also view it on Facebook. I think you'll appreciate the insights brought out in that message that are especially apropos to the current situation with Moore. Now, here's my point. These folks are hypocrites. They're phony. Don't believe them. Don't believe them when they pretend to have the moral high ground and preach to us about morality and everything. And don't buy their fake crocodile tears when they get caught. They've been lying to you all along. They're lying to you now. Let me explain something. You see, the fundamental difference is, well, very fundamental. They see themselves fundamentally as evolved animals, you know, and they are brutes. That is, they behave like animals from which they hailed, and not like men. You see, Christians believe we are created in the image and likeness of God, the way our founders viewed mankind, by the way, endowed by their creator. So we see ourselves differently than they do. And haven't you noticed how often these sophists, self-righteous, arrogant progressives preach to us about respecting women, caring for children, and then, you know, calling us Neanderthals, referring to us as cave dwellers, cavemen, that kind of thing, right? Pretending that our view of male and female relations categorizes us as being like cavemen and that kind of thing. It's unbelievable. Well, all the while, they are secretly preying on defenseless women and behaving toward them like pagan brutes, like heathen, like cavemen. You know, grunt, grunt, club them, drag them to their cave, man, you know, and then take from a woman or a child whatever feeds their appetite at the moment. Uncultured, ill-mannered Neanderthals, cavemen. They're the cavemen, you see. They have repudiated Christian culture, but Christian culture views men as above the beasts. Civility comes from Christianity and Christian values and beliefs. Barbarism comes from Darwin's survival of the fittest ethos, that barbaric pagan view of things. They don't understand that love your neighbor is not a natural law of the jungle. It's the refined ethos of a civilization shaped by Christian values and beliefs. Look closely at the demographics in our culture where Christianity has the greatest and then the least amount of influence. You will see that where it has the greatest amount of influence, you'll find the least amount of this barbaric behavior. Where it has the least amount of influence, say Hollywood, Washington, academia, you see the greatest amount of barbarism. Progressives are the barbarians of today. They are the Neanderthals, if you will. Rush said he did not know why suddenly it seems the dam is broken and the truth is flooding out. I think I gave you some insight into that little interesting factoid. All of this started in prayer meetings at churches like Lighthouse Baptist Church. That's right. Some years ago, we conducted 40 days of fasting and prayer for our country and specifically prayed that the truth would come out about these people, that the cesspools would spill over in such a manner as would allow the stink of that culture, that subculture, to be smelled, if you will, by those duped. By the influence of these people in Washington and Hollywood and so on and the left. And listen, we open the floodgate of the Spirit of God in supplication and prayer. Jesus said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. And he was referring to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is sent into the world to reprove it of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And that's what you see happening. It's like I said in my live performance of the Rainbow Saw Show here recently at the Lights On Banquet. A change is coming. Okay, I need to conclude. It is Thanksgiving Day weekend, and we will be honoring Thanksgiving Day this Sunday at the Lighthouse, 9:30 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 6 p.m. Please join us. I'll bring out some things about the first Thanksgiving. I'll bet you a free book from our bookstore that you didn't know, and I'll bring that out during our Bible study at 9:30 a.m. I'll preach a message on the power of gratitude to move the muscles of omnipotence. In the Sunday morning message at 10:45. And Sunday night, I'll discuss the hope we have that makes us thankful in all things. So, Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to come home. We all think of home during this time of year. You can almost smell the memories in the air and see reminders everywhere. And they all point to home. I remember walking up the path to Grandma's house in Georgia, the strong fragrance of pine and earth. And as I approached the old house, the distinct aroma of hot berry pie stirred expectations of some really good things to come. You know, the soul and spirit of a man needs a home. The distinct fragrances of the Word of God, the Word of Truth, leads the soul to its home. Lighthouse Baptist Church is inviting you to come home for the holidays, where the hearths of our hearts are warm with the love of God, where truth is welcome, where, like Julie found, you'll be surrounded with faces smiling with the joy of the Lord that share your values and your beliefs, where God-fearing patriotism is still alive and well, where prayer is first because God and His kingdom are first, where burdens are lifted, where friends are true. Come on home for the holidays. See you in church. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.